Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen, amen. Hey, hug somebody's neck, shake their hand, give them a high five, and then you can be seated this morning. So good to be here with you today. Did y'all pick up on the part that Connor said they wrote that last song? How about that? I dig that. Come on now. Yeah. So, anyway, welcome. We're so glad you're here today. I want to start out today by just sharing a couple of things with you. How many of you know it's good to hear some testimony sometimes? Come on, y'all. And so, you know what? Life is life, and good things happen, and tough things happen, and some things we understand, and some things we don't understand, and it's just part of life. And so, first thing I'll say to you today is we have a man that's in our congregation, and he has recently been diagnosed with cancer. He's been through some struggles. He's been through some treatments. He's been through some issues, and it's just been hard on him and his family, as you can imagine. But I want you to know that we got a report from him this week from the doctor that says he is in remission and that the cancer is not active in his body. And so I just want to share that with you in case you're here. I want to share that with you in case you're struggling with some kind of sickness. In case the doctors have given you some kind of report, I want you to know that God is bigger than anything that any kind of doctor can say. And so you know what? Don't fall into disbelief, but keep trusting God. Come on, y'all. And so I share that with you, and then I'll share with you a tough thing that we experienced this week. And a member of our body, a member of this church, Mitch Terrell, he passed away this week. He had a tragic accident, and it killed him, and it left his sons, and it left his family. And so I just say that to you to say this, that family needs your prayers, that it's a tough time, and it's a struggle, and the only way they're going to make it through is through trusting God and through the community of faith coming together and praying for them. And so would covet your prayers for that family. So Ephesians chapter number 1, we're in our study through the book of Ephesians. Today we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and then we're just going to pray and see what the Lord would say to us. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to open our ears and make our hearts receptive today. Holy Spirit, I ask for you to anoint me beyond my wisdom, beyond my education, beyond my intellect. And I pray that today this word would be real and relevant, and it would touch and change lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, so we're talking about spiritual blessings. We've already discussed how so many of us, we're worried about material blessings. We're worried about physical blessings. But the Apostle Paul says that these spiritual blessings are most beneficial. These spiritual blessings are the ones that are the longest lasting. And so we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about the spiritual blessings that God has promised to us, has given to us. Today, we're going to talk about the spiritual blessing of being chosen. The spiritual blessing of being chosen, of how God chose you, and of how God chose me. He chose us. He chose us. What does it mean, Cody, to be chosen? By very definition, it means this: to be selected or preferred. Can I just tell you something right quick? Can you look at me right quick? Can you look? Can I tell you that God prefers you? God selected you. Come on, somebody. Like as I'm standing up here looking at what I'm looking at, I'm like, why did you select that person, Lord? And it's where you're sitting and looking up at me, you're going, why did you choose him? Yeah. That's a processing. It's a thought we got to process. It's something that you and I have to grasp, is we have to understand that the God of creation, that the God of heaven, that the God of earth, that the God of life looked beyond your faults. He looked beyond my failures, and he chose us. He preferred us. He wanted us to be on his team. He wanted to use us. When we can grasp and understand that we have been chosen by God, it will change everything in our life. It doesn't matter. We have struggles. It doesn't matter if this girl chooses me or if this guy chooses me or if I lose my job or if the government chooses me. It doesn't matter. Anything else, at the end of the day, I have been chosen. I have been handpicked. I have been selected. I have been preferred by the Almighty God. And when we can adopt that attitude, it'll change our outlook on life. It'll change our relationships. It'll change the way that we live. It will change everything. God selected you and chose you. My mind goes to, I grew up and I went to school in Butterfield. How many of y'all know where Butterfield School is? It's out in the country. It was a country school. It was first through sixth grade. We went to school out there, and we would have recess every day, and we would go out to the basketball courts outside. And the basketball courts were made of chat. They were crushed rock. That's all they were. And so we would play kickball on the basketball. How many played kickball growing up? Come on, somebody. And the two coolest kids were the team captains. You had one team captain on this side and one team captain on this side, and you started choosing teams. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I choose you, and I choose you. And you tried to stack the team. You were chosen. And sometimes, though, here's what would happen. If you had an odd number and the teams weren't the same, someone was left out there and nobody chose them. Come on, somebody. Maybe that was you. You couldn't kick. You couldn't run. You couldn't chew gum and walk at the same time, and so nobody chose you to be on their team. See, that was back before we had snowflakes. Come on, somebody. That was back before everybody got a ribbon and everybody got what equal. You know what I mean? Like, if you sucked and you weren't no good, you had to practice running and practice kicking the ball so you could be on the team. Can I get a witness? Chosen. Everybody was chosen, but somebody's left, and so I'm going to talk to you seriously. Some of you, you feel like you're the one that never got chosen. You feel like nobody liked you. You feel like nobody loved you. You feel like you weren't adequate enough. You weren't good enough. And so because you have allowed the enemy to come in and bring that bondage into your life, you feel like you're not pretty enough, you're not tall enough, you're not smart enough, you're not spiritual enough, and you've been through the divorce, and you've been through these breakups, and you feel like nobody has chosen you, and you've bought the lie that God doesn't love you and God's not choosing you, and so therefore you walk around living in bondage the rest of your life with an inferiority complex that I'm not good enough, that I'm never going to get married, that I'm never going to have these blessings. You walk around, and the enemy has got you in bondage right now. But I'm going to tell you something today. How many of you know the yoke of bondage is broken by the anointing of God? And I believe that the anointing of God is in this place to let every person in here know that you are chosen by God, that God prefers you, that before you were in your mother's womb, God had plans for you. And I'm going to pray today that the chains be broken off and you leave here going, I am chosen by Almighty God. You're chosen. You're chosen. You are chosen. By God, John 15, 16, how many of you believe the word of God? Shout yes. The word of God, John 15, 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, he may give it to you. God chose you. I'm going to go back again and say, so many of us, that's hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp. It's hard to understand. You know why it's hard to understand? Because we have our identity and our worth and our value in what we did or what we did not do or what we got wrong in the past. Our identity is not in anything that I did, but it's in everything that Jesus did. Come on, somebody. Let me say it again for the folk in the back. Our identity and our worth and our value is not how good we can preach. It's not how good we can sing. It's not how much money we got in the bank. It's not how long we've been married. Our identity and our worth and our value is in everything that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been forgiven, born again, made a new creation in Christ, and we have been adopted in the family of God. Our worth is in what Jesus did, and we got to know God chose us. God chose us because God created us. I don't care what the society is telling you. I don't care what Instagram is telling you or what our nutty government is telling you right now. You did not evolve from a monkey. Come on, somebody. You may act like a monkey, look like a monkey, smell like a monkey, but you didn't come from no monkey. You are created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. He created him male and female. God created them. Do you realize that you are created in the image of God? Do you realize that God does not make mistakes? Come on, somebody. I don't care what the enemy is saying to you. I don't care what your mind is saying to you. God does not make mistakes, and God does not make junk. And he made you and he created you. And Psalm 139 says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God chose us. If you don't take anything else away from here today, I want you to take away this, that God chose you. Help me right quick. Will y'all help me a little bit? Can y'all help me? Come on, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, Michael Lescovici, the Lord chose you. Tell your neighbor, say, the Lord chose you. The Lord chose you. Darren, the Lord chose you, especially when you wear boots and not skinny jeans. The Lord chose you. The Lord chose you. The Lord chose you. I belong to God. God chose me. But here, let's talk about something. Let's break it down a little further, okay? What does that mean for you and I as believers that God chose us? What does that mean for you and I? We're going to talk about it because here's the deal. Just because God chose you doesn't mean that we don't have the option to choose him back. That we don't have the option to choose him back and to choose to walk in his way. It doesn't mean that because God chose us, we have zero responsibilities and we can live life how we want to live because we're chosen in the end. I want to tell you something right quick. There is a very dangerous doctrine that is being preached all over our country and it's gaining some traction nowadays. It's known as Reformed theology. It's known as Calvinism. Calvinism says some people are chosen and some people are not, and there's nothing you can do about either one. If you're chosen, praise the Lord, you're chosen. You can't do enough to become unchosen. If you're chosen, it doesn't matter what kind of path you choose or how you live your life, you're chosen and you're going to make heaven. And if you're not chosen, you're just out of luck. You can't repent. You can't pray enough. You can't do anything. You are not chosen. You are that one child that is standing on the playground that nobody wants. Very dangerous doctrine. God, the God that I serve and the God that I love, would never leave an individual on the basketball court to not be chosen, to feel no good and to feel unworthy. If God created you, God chose you, and God has plans for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you. We got to know that God has chosen us, and now we have to choose God back. We have to choose God back. We have to choose to honor him, choose to follow his ways. See, when God chooses us, everybody still with me? Say a good amen. When God chooses us, he opens up the love circle. Love is a complete circle. That's why when people get married, there is a ring that you put on their hand. It's an unending, never-ending circle of love. And when God chooses you and I, it opens up this love circle. But the way that that love circle is complete is when we choose God back, and now we enter into a relationship with him, a relationship that brings life. See, here's the deal. How many of you know when both parties enter into a relationship, that's when the magic happens? That's when the magic happens. That's when it becomes true, it becomes authentic, and it becomes a life-giving relationship. See, here's what I want you to know, that God loves us and that he demonstrated his love to us. How many know love is an action word? Love is an action word. God demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I tell you, Christ died for sinners. Can I remind you of that? I know you are good now. I know you come to church now. I know you know some of the words to the songs that we sing. I know you got your Bible, your little Ephesians book, and you got your Bethel water bottle, and you got the place that you sit right now, and you got your best Sunday go to meeting clothes on. But can I remind you that God loved you when you were still a sinner, when you didn't get up and come to church, when you had never read the Word of God? While we were sinners, Christ still loved us. And he came in the middle of our muck, in the middle of our mire. And he came in the middle of the storms that we had created ourselves. And he saved us out of that. He chose us. He demonstrated his love to us. How many of you are thankful that it wasn't what I did, but what he did? And he demonstrated his love to us. And now, because Jesus chose us, because God chose us, we must demonstrate our love back to God. We must demonstrate our love. How many of you know talk is cheap? Come on, somebody. And there's so many people that love God with their tongue, and they love God with their mouth, and they love God on Sunday morning. But God's like, you know what? I demonstrated my love to you. Now I need you to fill that circle. I need you to choose me back and demonstrate your love to me every day, every hour, and every moment of your life. See, when we demonstrate, when God opens up the love to us, and when we answer and we choose God back, it fills the circle. We have to demonstrate our love to God through repentance and devotion. Can I just say something to y'all right quick? If God offers us love, and then we say that we offer love back to him, we must live a life of repentance. There is a lie and there is a fallacy that God loves us and we can continue to sin, that we do not have to repent, that we do not have to change our ways. That is not demonstrating our love back to God. The Bible says that we must love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we really love God with everything, we will repent and turn from our ways, accept his love, and demonstrate our love back to him. True. Authentic, life-giving relationship when two sides come together. Let's talk about this chosen thing, because some people think you're just chosen. You don't get a choice. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter. You're chosen. It makes me think of an arranged marriage. How many of you know that would suck? Come on, somebody. Like, I don't get to choose. Like I like blondes, and what if somebody arranged a marriage for me with a brunette? I mean, come on, somebody. Like arranged marriage, like somebody chooses who you're going to marry and you get absolutely no choice. If that was happening for me, think about if you have a daughter. If your daughter was arranged marriage, you told your daughter, we don't care what you like. We don't care. We have it picked out for you. You think maybe your daughter would have a little bit of fear? Oh my gosh, who's this dude I'm going to marry? A little bit of anxiety, a little bit of worry. And sooner or later, what happens then is when we don't have a choice to choose love, we start operating out of duty. An arranged marriage. Girl, you're going to do this. Girl, you're going to cook. Girl, you're going to iron. Girl, you're going to wash clothes. And they start walking. Not relationship, just duty. Just going through the motions. That is the dangerous thing when we believe that we've been chosen by God and we don't have a choice. That is not relationship, and we'll wind up living a religious life and doing things out of duty. Anybody know what I'm talking about? An arranged marriage, this marriage thing reminds me of me and Tubby. Have I ever told you about me and Tubby when we was dating? And I would go pick her up down there on Sales Boulevard. I had this old Dodge pickup, and the muffler was cut off of it, and it was loud. And when I turned off South 14th on Sales Boulevard, I got about three blocks from the house. She could hear my pickup coming, and she'd come trotting down the sidewalk like this, like an old good border collie dog going to jump up and load up in the truck. I later found out that the reason that she did that is because her parents wouldn't let her go with me if they knew it was me picking her up. So she ran down the road. And it makes me think this love thing, this relationship thing, it makes me think about Tubby. Like, I had some girlfriends before Tubby. She had some boyfriends before me. But at this moment, we come together, and I was like, I think that's the one. Like, I chose her. I chose her. But in order to have a good relationship and for that relationship to bring life and health, she had to just choose me back. How screwed up would our world be if it was just based on who I chose had to marry me or who you chose had to marry you? I chose Jennifer, and I began to demonstrate my love to her. I began to be faithful to her. I quit dating around. I quit playing this game. I chose her, and then in return, she chose me, and she demonstrated her love to me through devotion. And at that moment, all of a sudden, the love circle began to be full, and I went down, and I bought the ring, and I got down on one knee, and I asked her. I proposed. I said, will you, I choose you. Will you be my partner for life, for better, for worse? And she demonstrated her love back to me, and she said yes. And at that moment, it closed the love circle up, and true authentic relationship began. God chooses us, but to make it real and authentic and life-giving, we have to choose God back, and we have to walk that thing out and be dedicated. Jennifer and I, we don't have the perfect marriage. We don't have the perfect marriage, but since that day, we've worked hard to be devoted to one another. We've worked hard through good times and through tough times. We've worked hard to make it work and to keep this relationship going. Then we got married and we entered into this thing called a covenant. Co- covenant is such a powerful word. We don't talk about that word covenant. It's not a familiar word in the English language nowadays. We use the word contract. We use the word agreement. But I want you to know that covenant is a stronger word. It's in the Word of God. It's powerful. God understands covenant. And covenant is this. The definition of covenant, it's a formal and a binding agreement of legal validity under a seal. When Jennifer and I accepted one another's love, and when we said yes, our marriage was sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Our marriage was sealed by our government. We entered into this covenant relationship with one another. Much like the same thing when God opens up the choice, He chooses us. When we choose Him back, I want you to listen to me, we enter into a covenant with God. A covenant, not a covenant of the government, not a covenant of this world. We become actually the bride of Christ. How many of you know that? We become the bride of Christ. Revelation 19:7 says, let us rejoice and let us exalt and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. The bride is God invites. You and I as the church, the bride, we come together in one. We enter into this covenant. Talk to you just a few more minutes about the covenant that we enter into when we say yes to God. We enter into this blood covenant. Blood covenant. There had to be shedding of blood. The blood covers and the blood seals this relationship that we have with God. Seals this relationship. Matthew 26:28, Jesus says, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. The blood covenant. When we say yes to God, we're covered in the blood. Come on, y'all. Can we rejoice over the blood just a little bit? I know that's old school, and I know it's an old hymn that we used to sing. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know that's old-fashioned, and I know that's a hymn, and I know we sang it at Wiley Baptist Church, and I know it was slow, and I know it was with the piano, and I know it was with the organ, but I just think that it's time that the church get back to understanding that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you don't answer another prayer, and if I get sick, and if I'm going through struggles, at the end of the day, nothing matters, because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And while I was a sinner, God sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross to come rescue me out of the pig pen. I smelt like a pig. I had pig poop all over me. I was on wanting to eat pig slop, but God came to where I was and He saved me and He redeemed me and He washed me out and He covered me in the blood and He made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. I was born again. Everything was changed in my life, and now I'm sealed by the blood and I've been adopted into His family, and I'm on my way to heaven shouting victory. And if nothing else good ever happens, I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When we get to the point where we can celebrate the blood of Jesus one more time. Oh, we're so hung up in our problems. We're so hung up in our relationships. We're so hung up in our money. We're so hung up in our cattle. We're so hung up in the government. We're so hung up in college. We're so hung up in everything else that we forget about the blood of Jesus Christ. How God demonstrated His love for sinners like you and I. And when He chose me and I chose Him, we entered into this covenant. Hebrews 13:20 says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. Covenant, legal, formal, binding, covering, sealed by the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, remind you one more time, and we're going to celebrate that in a minute by celebrating communion. I need you to look at me. Give me 2 minutes. Look. You didn't choose God, but God chose you. Can I hear a good amen? But we have to choose God back and demonstrate our love back to Him. Can I hear a good amen? Relationship is two-sided. It's never, ever one-sided. God chose you. We have to choose Him back, and the God of peace will cover your hearts and your minds at that moment. Conrad worship team, come help me close this thing, because here's what I want you to see today, and in the closing is this, that spiritual blessings, they're of the greatest value and most benefit to you and I. Got to get your eyes off things of this world. And you got to go today. I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes because I want to deal with something for a minute. You don't have to raise your hands or nothing. But one of the greatest bondages that the enemy can do is he comes to the church, the people of the church, the blood-bought children, and says, God didn't choose you. God doesn't prefer you. God just puts up with you. He doesn't prefer you. He doesn't select you. You're just you. Just get on the back row, shut up, and maybe you'll make heaven someday. No. You got to open your mind. You got to renew your mind, and you got to go, you know what? I trust the word of God, and God chose me. I wonder how many of you today would say, honestly, that I struggle with the fact of being chosen. Like I know, as your pastor, like Cody knows Cody. And I know my struggles more than you know my struggles. And you see me on Sunday and you think I don't have flaws and you think I don't get things wrong, but like I know me. And sometimes I'm like, God, how could you choose me? And it's by faith. I go, God chose me. I got to believe it. And some of you are struggling today. You don't even know if really God really chose you. But I'm praying and I'm believing by faith right now that God is about to break that stronghold. He's about to break those chains off of your life and off of your mind for years. Some of you have these memories of when you were a child and you didn't get chosen on the kickball court. Many of you have these thoughts in your minds, and because someone divorced you, you felt like no longer could you be chosen. Maybe your parent ran off and left you, and your parents divorced, and you felt like that your dad didn't choose you. You've bought the lie of the enemy, and I'm telling you today, God chose you. God knows you. God sees you. God loves you, and He demonstrates His love. And if you just can make up in your mind, I am a chosen child of God. I have been adopted into the family of God. Out of all the orphans in the world, God chose me. Because He preferred me. Do you get that mindset? Changes everything. God chose you. What does that mean? That means, wow, God chose me, so now I'm going to choose Him back. It's not just like choosing Him one time. Like Cody chose God for the first time at Wiley Baptist Church. I was 11 years old. I chose Jesus. I walked to the front, said a prayer. But you know what? That wasn't enough, and that wasn't all of it. Like, I've had to choose Him more and more often. I've had to choose Him daily. I've had to choose Him every moment. I've had to choose every day to deny myself. I've had to choose to deny my flesh and go against the grain of the world. Every day I've had to choose God and demonstrate my love back to Him. And some of us, we've been taking the grace of God for granted. Some of us, we've been going, I'm chosen, and I can go ahead and keep doing this. Some of us have said, I'm chosen, and I can keep living this way and keep acting this way. But know today, God is saying to you, I want you to demonstrate your love back to me. Repent. Be devoted to me. Give all you've got. God offers us this great love. He chooses us, and then we have to choose Him back. And when we do that, blessed assurance comes. And we go, my spirit bears witness with God's spirit, and we go, I'm chosen, I belong to God. It's this great moment. God chooses us, but we have to hold up our end of the deal in order to live the abundant life of spiritual blessings that He's predestined for us. So I tell you what we're going to do in the closing moments of this service today. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion. So if you got your little, if you didn't get one, you could raise your hand and some of the guys in the back will bring you one of these little deals. Why don't you go ahead and stand on your feet, and we'll go ahead and open the, pull the top wrapper back and get down to the wafer. And then go ahead and peel it back where you can get down to the juice. Anybody didn't get one, raise your hand and we'll get you one right quick. Can we get one, Scott, right up here, please, sir? Or Darren, give him.